Tobias Knight, the FBI agent monitoring the bugging equipment in Dr. Mocenigo's home, heard the pistol shot the same time Carmel did.
"What the hell?"
he said out loud, sitting up straight. He had heard the door open and footsteps walking about and had been waiting for a conversation. And then, without warning, he had heard the shot. Now a voice spoke.
"Sorry, Dr. Mocenigo. You were a great patriot, and this is a dog's death, but I will share it with you."
Then there were more footsteps and something else. Knight recognized the sound. It was liquid being poured. The steps and the pouring liquid continued, and Knight abruptly tore himself out of his state of shock and pressed the intercom.
"Knight?"
asked a voice, which he recognized as Esperando Despond, the special agent in charge for Las Vegas.
"Mocenigo's house,"
Knight said crisply.
"Get a whole crew out there double quick. Something is happening. One killing at least."
He released the intercom and listened, paralyzed, to the footsteps and the liquid sounds, which were now mixed with subdued humming. A man doing an unpleasant job, but trying to keep his cool. Knight recognized the tune, finally. Camptown Races. The humming and walking and slurping continued. Then the voice spoke again.
"This is General Lawrence Stuart Talbot, speaking to the CIA, the FBI, and whoever else has this house bugged. I discovered at 2 this morning that several people in our Anthrax Leprosy Pie project have accidentally been subjected to live cultures. All of them are living at the installation and can easily be isolated while the antidote works. I have already given orders to that effect. Dr. Mocenigo himself unknowingly received the worst dose and was in advanced morbidity a few minutes from death when I arrived. His whole house, obviously, will have to be burned down, and I am also, due to my proximity while examining him, too far gone to be saved. I will therefore shoot myself after setting fire to the house. There is one remaining problem. I found evidence that a woman had been in Dr. Mocenigo's bed earlier. That's what comes of allowing important people to live off base. And she must be found and given the antidote, and each of her contacts must be traced. Needless to say, this must be done quietly, or there will be a nationwide panic. Tell the president to see that my wife gets the medal for this. And tell my wife that with my last breath, I still insist that she was wrong about that girl in Red Lion, Pennsylvania. In closing, I firmly believe that this is the greatest country in the history of the world and can still be saved if Congress will lock up those damned college kids once and for all. God bless America."
There was a scratching sound. My God, Knight thought, the match and the sound of flames, in the midst of which General Talbot tried to add a postscript but couldn't get the words out because he was screaming. Finally, the second shot came and the screaming stopped. Knight raised his head, jaw clenched, repressed tears in his steely eyes.
"That was a great American," he said aloud.
Over cigars and brandy, after George had been sent off to bed to be distracted by Tarantella, Richard Young asked pointedly,
"Just how sure are you that this Discordian bunch is a match for the Illuminati? It's kind of late in the game to change sides."
Drake started to speak, then turned to Maldonado.
"Tell him about Italy in the 19th century,"
he said.
"The Illuminati are just men and women,"
Maldonado replied obligingly.
"More women than men, in fact. It was Eve Weishaupt that started the whole show. Adam just acted as a front because people are used to taking orders from men. This Atlantis stuff is mostly bullshit. Everybody who knows about Atlantis at all traces his family or his clan or his club back there. Some of the old dons in the Moth even try to trace La Cosa Nostra back there. All bullshit. Just like all the wasps tracing themselves back to the Mayflower. For everyone who can prove it, like Mr. Drake, there's 100 who are just bluffing. You see,"
Maldonado went on more intensely, chewing his cigar ferociously,
Originally, the Illuminati was just a... how do you call it? A kind of 18th century women's liberation front. Behind Adam Weishaupt was Eve. Behind Godwin, who started all this socialism and anarchism with this political justice book, was his mistress, Mary Wollstonecraft, who started the woman revolution with a book called,
Vindication of the Rights of Women,
Drake contributed.
And they got Tom Paine to write on women's lib, too, and to defend their French Revolution and try to import it here. But that all fell through, and they didn't get a real controlling interest in the U.S. until they hoodwinked Woody Wilson into creating the Federal Reserve in 1914. And that's the way it usually goes. In Italy, they had a front called the Arte Vente. It was so damn secret. Mazzini was a member all his life and never knew that control came from Bavaria. My grandpa told me all about those days. We had a three-way dogfight. The monarchists on one side, the Arte Vente and the Libertari, the anarchists on the other, and the Moth in the middle, trying to roll with the punches and figure out which way the bread was buttered, you know? And the Libertari got wise to the Arte Vente and split from it, and it was a four-way fight. You look it up in the history books, they tell it like it was, except they don't mention who ran the Arte Vente. And then, the good old Law of Fives come into it, and we had the Fascisti, and it was a five-way dogfight. Who won? Not the Illuminati. It wasn't until 1937, manipulating the English government to discourage Mussolini's peace plans and using Hitler to get Benito into the Berlin-Tokyo axis, that the Illuminati had some kind of control in Italy. And even then, it was indirect. When we made our deal with the CIA, it was called the OSS back in those days. Luciano got out of the joint, and we turned over Italy and delivered Mussolini dead.
And the point of all this?
Jung asked coldly.
The point is,
Maldonado said,
the Moth has been against the Illuminati more of the time than we've been with them, and we're still doing business, and we're stronger than ever. Believe me, their bark is much worse than their bite. Because they know some magic, they scare everybody. We've had magicians and belladonnas, witches to you, in Sicily since before Paris got hot pants for Helen. And believe me, a bullet kills them as dead as it kills anybody else.
The Illuminati do have a bite,
Drake interjected.
But it is my judgment that they are going out with the Age of Pisces. The Discordians, I think, represent an Aquarian swing.
Oh, I don't go for that mystic stuff,
Jung said.
Next thing you'll be quoting I Ching at me, like my old man.
You're an anal type, like most accountants,
Drake replied coolly.
And a Capricorn as well, down to earth and conservative. I won't attempt to persuade you about this aspect of the matter. Just take my word. I didn't get where I am by ignoring significant facts just because they won't fit on a profit and loss statement. On the profit and loss level, however, I have had reasons to believe that the Discordians can currently outbid the Illuminati. These reasons date back many months before the appearance of those marvelous statues today.
Later, in bed, Drake turned the matter around in his head and looked at it from several sides. Lovecraft's words came back to him.
I beg you to remember their attitude toward servants.
That was it, basically. He was an old man, and he was tired of being their servant, or satrap, or satellite. When he was 33, he was ready to take them over, as Cecil Rhodes had once done. Somehow, he had been maneuvered into taking over just one section of their empire. If he could think, truthfully, that he owned the United States more thoroughly than any president in 4 decades, the fact remained that he did not own himself. Not until he signed his Declaration of Independence tonight by joining the Discordians. The other Jung, the Altersalber in Zurich, had tried to tell him something about power once, but he dismissed it as sentimental slop. Now he tried to remember it, and suddenly all the old days came back, Klee and his numinous paintings, the journey to the east, old Crowley saying,
"Of course, Mixing the left-hand and right-hand paths is dangerous. If you fear such risks, go back to Hesse and Jung and those old ladies. Their way is safe, and mine isn't. All that can be said for me is that I have real power, and they have dreams.
But the Illuminati had crushed Crowley, just as they smashed Willie Seabrook when those men revealed too much.
I beg you to remember their attitude toward their servants. Damn it, what was it Jung had said about power?
And he turned the card over, and on the back was an address on Beacon Hill with the words, 8:30 tonight. He looked up at the janitor, who backed away deferentially, saying,
Thank you, Mr. Drake, sir.
Without a touch of irony in his face or voice. And it hadn't surprised him at all that, for deliberate contrast, the Grand Master he met that night, one of the 5 Illuminati primi for the U.S., was an official of the Justice Department. And what had Jung said about power?
A few of them will have to fall. Lepke, I would recommend. Perhaps Luciano also.
No mystical trappings, just a businesslike meeting.
Our interest is the same as yours. Increasing the power of the Justice Department. An equal increment in the power of the other branches of government will proceed nicely when we get the war into gear.
Drake remembered his excitement. It was all as he had foreseen. The end of the Republic. The dawn of the Empire.
After Germany. Russia?
Drake asked once.
Very good. You are indeed far-seeing.
The Grand Master replied.
Mr. Hitler, of course, is only a medium. Virtually no ego at all on his own. You have no idea how dull and prosaic such types are, except when under proper inspiration. Naturally, his supplied ego will collapse. He will become psychotic, and we will have no control over him at all then. We are prepared to help him fall. Our real interest now is here. Let me show you something. We do not work in general outlines. Our plans are always specific to the last detail.
He handed Drake a sheaf of papers.
The war will probably end in 44 or 45. We will have Russia built up as the next threat within 2 years. Read this carefully.
Drake read what was to become the National Security Act of 1947.
This abolishes the Constitution,
he said, almost in ecstasy.
Quite. And believe me, Mr. Drake, by 46 or 47, we will have Congress and the public ready to accept it. The American Empire is closer than you imagine.
But the isolationists and pacifists, Senator Taft and that crowd.
They will wither away. When communism replaces fascism as the number one enemy, your small-town conservative will be ready for global adventures on a scale that would make the heads of poor Mr. Roosevelt's liberals spin. Trust me, we have every detail pinpointed. Let me show you where the new government will be located.
Drake stared at the plan and shook his head.
Some people will recognize what a Pentagon means,
he said dubiously.
They will be dismissed as superstitious cranks. Believe me, this building will be constructed within a few years. It will become the policeman of the world. Nobody will dare question its actions or judgments without being denounced as a traitor. Within 30 years, Mr. Drake, within 30 years, anyone who attempts to restore power to the Congress will be cursed and vilified not by liberals, but by conservatives.
Holy God,
Drake said. The Grand Master rose and walked to an old-fashioned globe, nearly as large as King Kong's head.
Pick a spot, Mr. Drake. Any spot. I guarantee you we will have American troops there within 30 years. The empire that you dreamed of while reading Tacitus.
Robert Putney Drake felt humbled for an instant, even though he recognized the gimmick, using one single example of telepathy, plucking Tacitus out of his head, to climax the presentation of the incredible dream. At last he understood firsthand the awe the Illuminati created in both its servitors and its enemies.
There will be opposition,
the Grand Master went on.
In the 1960s and early 1970s especially. That's where your notion for a unified crime syndicate fits into our plan. To crush the opposition, we will need a Justice Department equivalent in many ways to Hitler's Gestapo. If your scheme works, if the Mafia can be drawn into a syndicate that is not entirely under Sicilian control, and the various other groups can be brought under the same umbrella, we will have a nationwide outlaw cartel. The public itself will then call for the kind of Justice Department that we need. By the mid-1960s, wiretapping of all sorts must be so common that the concept of privacy will be archaic.
And, tossing sleeplessly, Drake thought how smoothly it had all worked out. Why, then, was he rebelling against it? Why did it give him no pleasure? And what was it Jung had said about power? Richard Jung, wearing Carl Jung's old sweater and smoking his pipe, said,
"And next, the solar system."
The room was crowded with white rabbits, Playboy bunnies, Bugs Bunny, the Wolfman, Ku Kluxers, mafiosos, Lepke with accusing eyes, Adormus, a Mad Hatter, the King of Hearts, the Prince of Wands, and Jung was shouting over the din.
"Billions to reach the moon, trillions to get to Mars, all pouring into our corporations, better than the gladiatorial games."
Linda Lovelace elbowed him aside.
"Call me Ishmaelian,"
she said suggestively, but Jung handed Drake a skeleton of a Biafran baby.
"For Petruchio's feast,"
he explained, producing a piece of ticker tape.
"We now own,"
he began to read,
72% of Earth's resources, and 51% of all the armed troops in the world are under our direction.
"Here," he said, passing the body of an infant that had died in Appalachia.
"See that this one gets an apple in its mouth."
A bunny passed Drake a 1923 Thompson machine gun, the model that had been called an automatic rifle because the army had no funds to buy submachine guns that year.
"What's this for?"
Drake asked, confused.
"We have to defend ourselves,"
the bunny said.
"The mob is at the gates, the hungry mob. An astronaut named Spartacus is leading them."
Drake handed the gun to Maldonado and crept upstairs to his private heliport. He passed through the lavatory to the laboratory, where Dr. Frankenstein was attaching electrodes to Linda Lovelace's jaws, and entered the golf course again, where the door opened to the airplane cabin. He was escaping in his 747 jet, and below he could see Black Panthers, college kids, starving coal miners, Indians, Viet Cong, Brazilians, an enormous army pillaging his estate.
"They must have seen the Fenords,"
he said to the pilot. But the pilot was his mother, and the sight of her threw him into a rage.
"Leaving me alone!"
he screamed.
"Always leaving me alone to go to your damned parties with father! I never had a mother, just one nigger maid after another acting as mothers. Were the parties that fucking important?"
"Oh,"
she said, reddening.
"How can you use that word in front of your own mother?"
"To hell with that! All I remember is your perfume hanging in the air and some strange black face coming when I called for you."
"You're such a baby,"
she said sadly.
"All your life you've always been a big baby."
It was true. He was wearing diapers. A vice president of Morgan Guarantee Trust stared at him incredulously.
"I say, Drake, do you really think that is appropriate garb for an important business meeting?"
Beside him, Linda Lovelace bent in ecstasy to kiss the secret ardor of Ishmael.
"A whale of a good time,"
the vice president said, suddenly giggling inanely.
"Oh, fuck you all,"
Drake screamed.
"I've got more money than any of you."
"The money is gone,"
Carl Jung said, wearing Freud's beard.
"What totem will you use now to ward off insecurity and the things that go bump in the night?"
he sneered.
"What childish codes. Mafia. Morte alla Francia Italia Anella. French-Canadian bean soup. The five consecrated Bavarian seers. Annuit coeptis novus ordo seclorum. Antichrist, now our savior. A boy has never wept nor dashed a thousand kim. Asmodeus, Belial, Hastur Nialototep, Wota Nigoroth Dolus, Azatoth Tint Alos Kadith. Child's play!" Glasspielen. Well, if you're so damned smart, who are the inner five right now?
Drake asked testily.
Groucho, Chico, Hoppo, Zeppo, and Gummo,
Jung said, riding off on a tricycle.
The Illuminati is your mother's breast, sucker,
added Albert Hoffman, pedaling after Jung on a bicycle.